All right, we are going to welcome in a guy who, look, gets married, becomes a father, and softens in his age. Optimistic Mike Schaefer
kids
for the Husker football season.
Kids will do that to you.
God, just think if you were not married and didn't have a kid, you would say, Nebraska's going to be 3-9 next year. Now you get a kid, and you're like, HUD says, this might be an 8-win season.
Huskers.
I feel very strongly about this. If you just scrub the name Nebraska off and give everyone all the data of a veteran team, veteran defense returning, top 25 group there potentially, veteran offensive line, intriguing group of pass catchers, five-star quarterback, I think people would think it's going to be a good team. It's just, I think the Nebraska stink has lingered too long. I think it's okay to say that they should be a good team. I think it's okay to expect them to be a good team. We'll start there.
All right, so you are on team stink off. We're done. The stink is off.
Yeah, I think so. It should be. I think that they have the ability to go out and win a bunch of football games next year. Like, you look at it, and again, if the team name wasn't Nebraska, if it was something else, it would be a really trendy, popular sleeper pick. And I think Nebraska will end up that way over the summer. I think people will talk themselves into them. I might have just arrived there a little bit earlier. But they have a good team, and that's why. So this all started when John Bishop does his, would you sign for a 7-5 season?
Yes.
And I wouldn't, because I think the upside of this team is like 10-2. And I think I want to see that through rather than just sell out for the 7-5. So I can't believe I'm saying this, especially because it's April, and it's not like there's anything that's really happened. Mm-hmm. But I just keep looking at it, and the things that I would be most concerned about, the November game day management, I mean, that definitely stands out to me. Like, that would be an area of concern. And then just, can they get enough out of their running game to take the pressure off of Dylan Raiola? I mean, those are the two things that stand out to me right now today. One of those can't really be, actually both of them can't really be answered until you're probably deep into conference play. Mm. But I feel like I'm less concerned about one than I was, you know, at the end of the season last year. I definitely had a little bit more of a, I don't know. We didn't look great on Saturdays in November, but I'm willing to look past that and move, you know, in a different direction there. The running back thing, I think I'm just going to be apprehensive about until I'm not.
Hey, as Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7 is joining, I ran across this number and I looked it up, and this is wild. You were talking about guys on the roster and having a no name and just look at the talent or whatever. Nebraska could have essentially guys that started at least one game, 19 of them back this year, but still 67 of the 85 scholarships are underclassmen. That is still wild to me.
But I think that also tells you that.
And not wild in a bad, and not in a bad way, I should say.
They're old in the right spot at the right time, but they have some really intriguing guys that could be breaking out. The other thing is, I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, they have a big crop of freshmen coming in. They have some transfer portal guys, but a lot of them, it's their second year. It's their second year with Matt Rhule. It's their second year of Corey Campbell, which I think I probably have underplayed to a degree. You get that second year and, you know, I think they hit the ground running in this winter. It was a lot less of installing, you know, the culture and what it is, what it means to play for Matt Rhule in Nebraska and what it means to walk through those doors. And they didn't have a lot of that. I mean, I think it was more of the transfer portal guys had to adjust to it. And there was only a handful of them, but the team kind of knows where things are at. Like, to use a cross sport comparison, I think you can look at the success that basketball had, where they had a bunch of pieces that kind of knew what they were supposed to be doing. And they had some holdovers from the previous team and they mixed in some new talent and they fuse it together, and it wasn't pretty all the time, but you can't say it wasn't a good team. I feel like that's what football is going to be in 2024. Like, I think they have more than enough talent. Like, I don't think talent is going to be the issue. It's a question of, can they go and win some games? And I think the schedule sets up for them early. They catch some teams that they should be able to handle. You can get some wins under your belt, build some confidence, and then go win some of the tougher games as the schedule turns in October and November.
Okay, so you just kind of answered my question. And going back to bringing up the difference between maybe a 6-6 or 7-5 season for this team to potentially go further, You brought up your reluctance there, but what area would you point to if this goes beyond what we'll say the minimum 6-6, 7-5? This is to go beyond what you've seen, what you've heard, certain players, certain position groups. Where do you think the difference could be? I don't want to put you on the spot and say will be, but could be for that season to elevate into the 9-10 range.
I think Nebraska has the ability to continue to keep the opponent's scoring low while putting more points on the board themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, and this is the dangerous one, I don't think they're going to have near as many turnovers in 2022.
I agree.
And I know that's the sort of thing that you say when you're about to walk off the plank into the ocean, never to be seen again. But I really think moving away from a rush first quarterback to a more of a pass, and obviously you can throw a ton of interceptions, right? Mm. But Raiola has shown throughout his high school career, and the ball security has been pretty good this spring compared to where it was last spring. He's shown throughout his high school career that he can avoid some of those throws. I think that he can do that at the college level. I don't look for Nebraska to have like 25 interceptions. So I think they can manage possessions better, and I think they will finish with more points. I expect Tristan Elvano to be better. Like, I just think there's going to be these small improvements that have a big outsized effect on the overall record. Like, I think it's not going to just be this wholesale Dylan Raiola comes in, he's just the greatest quarterback we've ever seen, and that's why Nebraska's good. I think the defense stays solid. They improve with the turnovers. Mm-hmm. They get more points on the board, and all of that leads to more wins. Like, it's to me, it's getting better through the small things, and it's going to be noticeable, whereas instead of, you know, this expectation we've had for 7 years where this big sweeping change saves everything, it's not going to be that. It's going to be the work that they put in that allows them to get better and to make these sort of micro improvements that have a large effect on the season as a whole.
So Nebraska's going to have a cornerback. One of their starting cornerbacks is going to be a guy that played 9 college football games last year at a place called St. Francis. He had 21 tackles, he had 6 pass breakups, and he had 2 interceptions. Boy, he had a great game against Stonehill and Long Island. He's going to be at the University of Nebraska starting at cornerback. His name is Bly Hill. What does that say about Bly Hill? But then the other part of this, Schaaf, what does it say about the staff's eye for talent when they look at tape from guys that have played college football to pursue in the portal?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if in a couple of years we're talking about Bly Hill in the way that we were talking about Stanley Jean Baptiste. I mean, similar body type, the ability to get physical and take a receiver out of the play, the ability to just make a quarterback look out of that window. I mean, I don't want to put too much on him right now, but I mean, I think that he can really develop into that. I don't know if he'll be there right away at the beginning of the year, and sometimes it takes corners a little while to settle, get used to the speed and the tempo and everything changing. I mean, that's going to be the big part of it. But the nice thing is, every day at practice, he's going up against a Jamal Banks or an Isaiah Nayer or a Jalen Boyd or a Malachi Coleman, or, you know, Coleman's not practicing as much or he's got a green jersey. But, you know, so he's getting all of these different types of receivers that he's got to face. And so he won't be unprepared for what he's going to see in the fall. And I think he can be a really interesting player. And then opposite of him, you know, if Tommy Hill is the type of guy that he was at the end of the season, it could be a really difficult, you know, it could be hard to throw on this team, especially if they can get after your quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of different ways for Nebraska to just have these minor improvements.
Yeah.
And some of it could just be if their coverage is just a little bit better, that pass rush is going to be even better because it's going to get home sooner. I mean, there's a lot that I like about it. And I think that a guy like Bly Hill is, you know, the arrow's definitely up. Now, there's going to be some growing pains there, I'm sure. But I think he's a guy long-term that they hit a home run.
We heard from Riley Van Poppel and some of the defensive staff yesterday. Tony White said something, and this is the question I have for you. You continue to hear a little bit of these things from whether it's Rob Dvorak or Tony White or, you know, Terrence Knight and whoever, and they talk about the standard that exists with this defense. We heard yesterday Matt Rhule had to jump Tony White and the defensive staff after the scrimmage on Saturday, but he liked it, and that continues to raise his standard. And you just hear those things, and it continues to intrigue you. How good overall, Schaaf, do you think this defense can be compared to last year?
I think the bar just needs to be getting to about 80% of what it was last year. I think some of last year was who they played. I mean, I think we can't mitigate the fact that it was a bad offensive schedule that they went against last year. Now, it's not like I'm looking at the 2024 schedule and seeing a wave of teams. You know, USC is going to be certainly different. But a lot of these teams have a lot of the same questions that they had when Nebraska played them in 2023. And so I think that the defense can take advantage of that. I think in a lot of ways, Nebraska can be built similar defensively to what Iowa has done, where you move pieces in, you move pieces out, but the backbone of what you do is the same, and the results are largely similar because you're taking advantage of the shortcomings of the offenses that you face every week. I don't know that if I put Nebraska, you know, against LSU last year, that defense is going to be phenomenal. But they don't face that team. They don't have to worry about that. I think they're built to play against the teams that they play, and I think that they can have, you know, a pretty good season because of it. And just like last year, I think you're seeing more ownership being taken by some of these younger guys as to what the standard of this defense needs to be, and that was a big Nash Upmaker thing in the spring last year, and I thought he carried that into the fall and really had a great year. We were hearing it with Riley Van Poppel. You're hearing it with some of these younger guys. There's just a really strong belief about what they can be and sort of a no-nonsense, they're not going to accept less than what they are. And I think that's really important because I think that's the growth mindset you have to go from, you know, we were pretty good, so let's just go out there and we can be what we were last year to, yeah, we did that last year, but that's all behind us. There's something new in front of us now, and we have to go get it. And I think if that mindset can prevail throughout the 11 guys on the field and the 22 guys on the two deep, Nebraska's defense is going to be just fine.
I wish I would have written it down because I was part of the discussion. The analytics department with Nebraska football shared with the staff, there is just this incredible stat of how many times when their quarterback came to the line of scrimmage last year, they counted 7, 8, and there were even times where there were 9 guys in the box against Nebraska. The percentage of 7 to 8 guys in the box against Nebraska, Nebraska's offense this year will be below or above 50%?
I think below. I think that the wealth of the sort of pass catchers that they have, how open they can make this offense, I think it can, and certainly the arm of Dylan Raiola, you have to respect that in a way that you probably didn't last year. I just think that they have a way of keeping teams really honest, and they might get some open sets where linebackers just aren't in the middle of the field because you can spread teams out. And so I think we're going to see a dramatically different offense. I don't think that's a big surprise. I don't look for, you know, Dylan Raiola to be running what Heinrich Harburg was. I don't look for a lot of option passes to be their big play in 2024. But I think because of that arm talent that you're going to likely line up under center, and because of the sort of pass catchers that they have, and I've really, you know, this is the area where I just have blind faith. I've really bought into this wide receiver room in a way that maybe is going to be, you know, overselling it. But I think they have more weapons. I think Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair scare people a lot more than Billy Kemp did. I think there's a way that you can attack downfield. I think there's a way that you can use their body types. I think Thomas Fedoni could be in for, you know, a nice season that builds upon kind of where he was at last year. Obviously, Jalen Lloyd, you know, that stat about how him and Marvin Harrison had the most catches over 50 yards in the Big Ten last year. Like, I think Jalen Lloyd could be a really good player for Nebraska. So there's just a lot that I like, and I think it'd be hard to stack the box against stuff.
Hey, you've been doing this now in the recruiting but also in the portal world. What's your sense on Nebraska dipping their toes in the portal? And what should we believe and not believe when we hear noise about prospects?
Well, here's where I'm coming at with it. And this is just based on what they've been saying. And so I'm just taking them at their word. I don't think they're going to look for a quarterback in the portal. I don't really look for them to spend a lot of time in the spring portal because I think they like the team that they have. They like the guys that are there with them. You hear Rule say that a lot, that he worries about the guys that are already on his roster and not the ones that he has to go get. And I think there's a real belief on that where the guys who have gone through this spring, the guys who have gone through this, you know, spring league that they have put up, and they're giving them really competitive practices. I think, you know, to a man, that coaching staff would tell you that effort and energy is not a problem for this team most days. And so I think because of all of that, they're probably not going to really have to go into the portal. And on top of it, they have to get their numbers down. They're more likely to see some guys leave than they are to go out and bring people in, because they just don't have the scholarship numbers for that at this time. Now, do they want to do the NIL, you know, Nebraska scholarship? They certainly could. But I think they've done that with some pieces. And again, I think they like their quarterback situation a lot more than the outside world does. And that could be good and that could be really bad. But I think they're more comfortable than maybe the rest of us are with the idea that Heinrich Harburg is a backup quarterback to Dylan Raiola.
Yeah. I think they've. I think that has been reiterated this spring, at least to have a comfort level. I think you're absolutely right. But I think Danny Kalen also, his at least first start has given them some comfort that they don't have to overreach for a quarterback to come in the month of May and learn the offense in June.
It's going to be really fun to me, and I would imagine for you guys as well, because you followed his high school career, what Daniel Kalen looks like next spring and the spring after that. Because I think there's a lot of people who just think that he's maybe finished as to what he is. And I look at that guy as just kind of a potential rocket ship, because he's just going to work his butt off for everything that he does. We might not see a lot of him in 2024, but I think when we do, I think he's going to be successful. I don't think a guy like that loses very often.
Yeah, and important in the next year on what they do with his body as well. Chafe, as always, appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
That's Mike Schaefer. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike J. Schaefer. Didn't get to the question. I'll ask you. Why don't people like Corver Dema?
I haven't heard much about Corver Dema since my spring.
No, he gets traded all the time.
Oh, I noticed that the first time. Hey. Was he on the transaction list yesterday, too?
Yeah, I think he's been traded three times. Put some respect on my man from Gretna.
You know what? That sounds like there could be a personality clash of those teams in the dynamic of that team. I don't know if you're trading back and forth. Either that or he's a hot commodity. You can look at it two different ways. I saw that they had another transaction list come out yesterday. I didn't notice Corver Dema on that one, though.
Yeah, I mean, man, put some respect on my man. He's pride of Gretna.
Does he have the most trades so far?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, he's living out of a suitcase. He didn't even know. He wakes up and he had no idea who he's playing for.
I love that they do that, by the way. That's fun. That's cool.
All right, Matt Verzal. He's fun personified. He is coming up next on 1620 The Zone.